on risky prayers. Now, so far we have talked about a couple of different things, and one of those things, one of those risky prayers, I should say, is search me. Going to God and saying, Lord, search my heart. If there's anything in it, reveal it to me. The other thing that we talked about last week was, Lord, break me. And these are not just normal types of prayers, everyday prayers. These are not predictable, safe prayers. These are, in a sense, risky prayers. And not risky because we risk losing something, but actually we risk gaining something. But sometimes fear keeps us from praying prayers like these when we come before God. And the prayers that we've been praying often are predictable prayers and not bad prayers. So week one, we learned to pray, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. And then last week's risky prayer, break me, God. Break me of anything that keeps me from being intimate with you. And today we're going to be praying a prayer that may be my favorite of the three. It's the prayer of availability. So observations about prayer, of course, prayer requests, is most of the time when we come before God with our needs and our requests, what we usually want is we want to pray for the things that directly impact us. It's, you know, God, would you do this for me? Or God, would you heal my grandmother? Or would you help me get into this school? Would you help me find a job? Would you bless me as I do this? And those prayers are very important prayers. So I'm not putting those prayers down. We need to come before God with our needs and the things that are on our heart. And He wants to hear those things. But what would happen if, in addition to praying prayers like this, we began to pray a prayer that sounds a little bit like this? God, what can I do for you? Now that's a risky prayer. It's not so risky to go before Him and say, God, I need this, and you know, can you work in this situation and circumstance? But when you begin to pray a prayer that says, God, what can I do for you? Not just, God, bless me, keep me safe. This is called a prayer of availability. Let me tell you, when you pray this prayer, God could direct you in a lot of different ways. And He may direct you and lead you to go to a different city. He may reveal a calling in your life that you never expected to hear about. He may lead you to stay somewhere when you thought you were supposed to go. He might lead you to a different job. He might call you to serve somewhere. He may ask you to serve the teens of HCC, Heritage Christian Church, and to lead a student ministry. He might move you from being a cat person to a dog person. Hey, you never know. Maybe a Steelers fan to a Patriots fan. I don't know. Or a Browns fan to be a Steelers fan. I'm not sure. I don't know what it could be that God may ask you to do. But when you make yourself available to God, it's an incredibly dangerous prayer. And we're going to learn to pray that prayer today. All throughout Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, we see that God calls people. And when I say calls, I don't mean He calls you on the phone and gives you a clear, do this. I don't mean a text. When He calls people, it means He speaks to people. He prompts them. He moves them. He leads them to say something or to do something or to go somewhere or to encourage someone or to speak truth. See, God will call those who know Him to do something that He wants to be done. And there are some different responses to God's call. And some of those responses today we're going to talk about with risky prayers. So three responses we're going to talk about this morning. The first one is from a man named Jonah, the call of Jonah. And here's his way of responding to the call. Here I am, Lord. I'm not going. I don't want to go there. I will go any other place, Lord, among the Jewish people, but I will not go to Nineveh. That's the last place on earth that I want to go. Be careful when you pray that dangerous prayer, because there might be some countries God may send you to that you've been saying, I'll never go there. The call of Jonah. Here I am, Lord, I'm not going. Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3. This is the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Verse 3. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Man, that's a pretty foolish endeavor, isn't it? Can you really escape from the Lord? Is there any place that you can go that he cannot see you? Absolutely not. But he went and escaped. He thought somehow he'd be able to outrun God. But what did Jonah do? He ran away and he said, here I am, God, I'm not going. I wonder how many of us had similar experiences with this, where you felt prompted to do something. Maybe you felt like, hey, I'm supposed to reach out, or I'm supposed to say something to them, or I'm supposed to help this person. Here I am, God. Not today. I'm not going. I can often relate to the call of Jonah, and it's part of the reason why I wanted to name our son Jonah. It's because when I was younger, I felt a call to ministry about the age of 5. Didn't really know what to do with that. Went through school, you know, got through my senior year of high school. Had no clue what I was going to do next, but I knew it wasn't going to be ministry. I wanted to make money. I wanted to work in business, maybe. So as I went to graduate as a senior in high school, I chose the University of Pittsburgh as a marketing and finance major at Pitt. And I remember being there, and much like Jonah, even though I was going in the opposite direction of where I felt called to go, I remember feeling miserable. And if you know anything about me, the city of Pittsburgh, I'm a big fan of. All the teams in the city of Pittsburgh. All of my family is from south of Pittsburgh. I'm both sides of my family, my mom and dad. But I was miserable. Miserable. I felt like I was in the belly of a whale. And there's sometimes we have a feeling, a call, that God is placing in our lives, something that he's asking us to do, and we just don't want to do it. And so we go our own direction, and we think that we know best. And what happens to Jonah, though? What happens in the story? You know it, don't you? He ends up doing it. God brought him right back to that place. And of course, you know the rest of my story. The thing that I resisted was the very thing that I finally submitted to. I said, okay, God, I'll do this. So I can guarantee you that if you're a follower of Jesus, there are moments, there are times where God prompts you to do something or to act on something, to say something, and you hear it in your mind, I know I need to, I'm going to, I should, but here I am, Lord, not today. I'm not going to do this. So here's Jonah's response to the call. Here I am, I'm not going. And then we have, secondly, the call of Moses, where he says, here I am, send someone else. Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. This is where Moses said, well, God, I understand that that needs to happen, but it's not my gift. It's not my calling. I don't want to do that. It says in verse 10, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear to Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain that you're standing on today. But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" And you might remember the next line, "Tell them, 'I am sent you.'" See, this is something that Moses, he saw that it needed to happen. He agreed with God, "God, you're right. Somebody has to do something about this. Somebody has to save those people. I tried once a long time ago and it didn't work. So now I'm coming before you, God, and you're telling me to go, but I'm telling you, I tried before and it's just not going to work. I'm not the right guy for this. I failed last time. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough. Someone else would do better than I am. Here I am, God. Send someone else. I'm not the right person." And it's easy for us to do this. "I'm not going to give. They should give. They've got more money to give. I'm not going to go. I don't have much time." That's what we all think. Maybe she can do it, or that other person can do it, or he can do it. They're better equipped. Or, "I don't have time for this." Or, "Here I am, God, send someone else." Jonah says, "Here I am, I'm not going." Moses says, "Here I am, send someone else." And then Isaiah prays a risky prayer. And this is the prayer that I want us to pray today. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Now notice what Isaiah said in this prayer response back to God. Notice that he didn't say, "Oh God, where are you sending me? Is the climate nice? Are there beaches? What's the cost of living? How much am I going to get paid? What's the pay range? What are the benefits? How much vacation do I get?" He didn't ask any of that in this situation. What he simply did essentially is he signed a contract that was blank with God that said, "Here I am, send me." No other things listed. No demands. "God, if you do this, then maybe I'll do what you're asking me to do." It was simply a blank statement. "God, wherever you send me, I will go. Here I am." This is, I don't need to tell you, a very risky and dangerous prayer. I want to encourage you this week, as part of your daily life, coming before God, to pray your own version of this prayer. It may be something like, "God, I give you my mind. I give you my eyes. I give you my mouth. May I speak what you want me to say. May I hear only your truth today and have the wisdom to reject what is not true. Here are my hands. May they be used to build your kingdom. Here are my feet, God. Lead me where you want me to go." Essentially praying, "God, here I am. Send me. Here I am, God. I'm available. Here I am, God. You have permission to interrupt me. God, if you want me to go somewhere, I'll go. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. If you want me to say something to somebody, I'll speak. If you want me to simply be quiet and pray, I will pray. If you want me to give something away, if you want me to use my time, whatever you need me to do, God, wherever you need me to do it, God, I am there. Here I am. Send me." This is an incredibly dangerous prayer, because when you start praying it, I guarantee that God's going to begin interrupting you. And God will prompt you. And God will move upon you. And suddenly you'll recognize that God has a lot for you to do when you begin to pray, "Lord, send me." How do we get there? How do we get that kind of an attitude before God? How do we fully surrender our lives to Him? What do you need to fully surrender? I want to try to answer that today as we look at Isaiah. Continue in Isaiah chapter 6, and we lead up to the verses to that surrendered prayer where he says, "Here am I, send me." I'm going to talk about the three ingredients of total surrender. The first piece of that puzzle, if you will, is a genuine experience with the presence of God. A genuine experience with the presence of God. Isaiah 6:1 says, "It was in the year of King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." What happened? Isaiah got a glimpse of the presence of God. He saw him in all of his majesty, in all of his glory. And the text goes on to talk about these angelic beings named seraphim. And these angelic beings were worshiping and praising around the throne room of God and continuing to pray out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And when Isaiah saw the presence of God, when he experienced the glory of God, it completely transformed who he was. Why is it that you might not be available to God today? Perhaps it's because you haven't recently experienced the presence of God in your life. There have been moments, which I'm sure some of you could say there were too, where you sense strongly the presence of God there. Whether it be a time of prayer or worship or gathering with a group of other believers, where you sense the presence of God in a very real way that is undeniable. And you know he was there. And you know he spoke to you. And I can sense the very real presence of, in those moments, of the Holy Spirit filling me, of renewing me, of strengthening me, comforting me and loving me, equipping me. And it was so real to be in that presence. The presence of God brought me to a deeper place of submission before him to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." Some of you may say, "That's never really happened to me before. I've never had that moment. I've never really sensed the presence of God. I've just kind of gone along with life and follow after his precepts and after his word and try to live my life after it. But I've never really had a sense that he was there." But I want to tell you right now this morning that God absolutely can and God wants to reveal himself to you. In fact, Scripture teaches that when you draw near to God, that he will draw near to you. You draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And you don't have to be in a church for this to happen. It could literally be when you're driving a car and a worship song comes on and suddenly you just sense that God is with you in that car at that moment. He's present. It could be when you're praying a goodnight prayer with your five-year-old and suddenly you realize God is with us in this room. When you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. So why is it that maybe we're not as available to God as we should be? Maybe it's because we haven't sought after him in a while. Because we need that experience to be in his presence so that we can be transformed into his likeness. See, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His glory was everywhere. That's what the verse says. What do you need to fully surrender to God? What needs to die in you in order to experience the presence of God? You need a genuine experience with the presence of God. Number two, you need a genuine experience with your sinfulness. In fact, I'm going to say that this is one of the biggest cultural lies that people believe today, and it's this: I'm a good person, you're a good person, she's a good person, we're all good people, I'm a good person. But let me tell you this, that without Christ, you are not a good person, and nor am I. You're horrible, and you're an evil sinner in the eyes of God. Welcome to Heritage Christian Church. Or make you feel good about yourself. You are, but we all are, aren't we? We all have things in our lives that are not perfect. We're all sinners. Without Christ, we'd be lost in our sin. You see, but Isaiah saw how holy God was. And in that moment, he recognized how unrighteous he was. You see, when we enter into the presence of God, that's the thing that it often does. It shows us how unrighteous we are because of how righteous he is. In the light of who he is, we see our own sin. And that's exactly what happened to Isaiah. Isaiah 6:5. And this is from the New Living Translation, and you might recognize this from other translations. But he said, "Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. You have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army." Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Other versions will say, "Woe is me. I'm done. I'm nothing. I'm pathetic. I'm a sinner. I have nothing to offer. He's holy and I'm not. He's righteous and I'm unrighteous. He's full of glory and I'm full of sin. Woe to me, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips." So what does it take to get to a place where you're fully surrendered? Where you can pray the prayer, "Here am I, God, I am yours, send me." It takes a genuine experience with the presence of God. It takes awareness of your own sin. And thirdly, it takes a genuine understanding of God's grace. Aren't we glad that I didn't just leave it as sin? Let's talk about our sin and his righteousness. By having an understanding of God's grace. When you understand just how amazing his grace is, we sing some songs. You know the old hymn, "Amazing Grace." We sing another song called "This Is Amazing Grace." We sing another song, "Amazing Grace," that talks about my sins or my chains are gone. I've been set free. But do we understand and do we actually sense and feel the presence of grace at work in our lives every day? We don't understand how amazing it is until it brings us to a point of surrender. Isaiah 6, 6-7 says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven.'" So he was in the presence of God. He recognized that he is ruined. He is a sinner. He has unclean lips. And with one touch of the goodness of God, his sins were forgiven and completely atoned for. Your lying lips, forgiven. Your lust, forgiven. Your self-centered thoughts, forgiven. Your angry outbursts, forgiven. Every secret sin that you've done in the past that you've never told anyone about, forgiven, as if it never happened. See, God separates your sins according to Scripture as far as the east is from the west. And he does not remember your sins anymore. When you confess your sins to God, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when we come before a righteous God in our unrighteousness, his blood is what allows us to go into his presence because we are righteous because of his blood that has clothed us. When you understand the grace of God, it transforms everything in your life. The same way that that coal touched his lips and cleansed him of his sin, Jesus' blood covers our sin. And when we recognize that we don't bring anything, but Jesus brings everything to our lives, and when we begin to sense God's presence, and when we're aware of our own sinfulness, and then we experience the unmatched, undeserved grace that he has for us through Jesus Christ, our only true, genuine response is, "Here I am, God. Send me." It's not my life. It's not my desires. One of the riskiest prayers you can pray is, "God, I am yours anywhere, anytime, anything." Now that is a risky prayer. So this isn't some kind of, "Man, I just have to pray this prayer because Jesus forgave my sins." Shoot, I really don't want to pray this prayer. This is, I get to pray this prayer before God. This is, I get to serve Him. This is, I get to wake up and I have a day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He has given me gifts. He has put me at this moment in history because this is the time that He can best use me. Where He may bring people across your path today that need encouragement. And you have the encouragement of the Lord in you that you can share with them. He's going to have people that have needs, and He's given you exactly what you need to help them. If I just have the courage to release it and trust God to use it, He can meet someone's needs through you. If I just have the courage to release it, He can meet those needs through you. So this isn't a, I have to serve God. I have to. I don't have a choice. But it's, I have the opportunity to serve God because He has served me and He has loved me. Now this is something that doesn't happen one time, a one and done kind of thing. Like, remember that one time when I obeyed God? That once? Remember that one time? That was awesome. You relive that the whole rest of your life. Remember that one time I obeyed God? You brag about it every Sunday. Go to somebody. Remember that one time I obeyed God? Yeah, you've told me 10 times already in the last past several weeks. This isn't a one and done proposition. This isn't one thing where you just say that once and then it's all done, right? It takes some time. It's a daily decision. The reason is that if you've been born into God's family, if you've been called by Jesus and you've been transformed, this is what happened in that moment. Your spirit came to life. And from that moment on, there's a war that's going on inside of you. There is a war because there's flesh inside of you. And this is what the Bible calls flesh. And it's not your skin, but it means your own selfish desires. And there is that spirit inside of you. And your flesh is at war with your spirit. And the flesh wants to do what you want to do. Right? Here I am. I'm not going. Here I am. Send someone else. But your spirit wants to do what God wants you to do. And your spirit says, here am I. Send me, Lord. So how do we learn to daily choose to die to our flesh so that our spirit can live? It's simple. What we feed the most grows, and what we starve dies. What we feed the most grows, and what we starve dies. If we feed our flesh, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's all about me, me, me. We say something like, I'm not going to do that. My life is too important. I'm too valuable. I don't have time to make a difference. Somebody else can do that. I love Jesus and everything, and I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to do anything with it. That's feeding the flesh. Instead, if you deny your flesh and feed your spirit, you are in the presence of God. You are seeking Him. You're in His Word. You are growing spiritually. You are in a life group because it's connecting you with others in the community. You are sharpening one another in those groups. You are using your spiritual giftings, and you are in the church, and you are the church, and you are the church in the world, and you are showing love. That's what healthy and growing and feeding your spirit is. Your spirit is growing, your flesh is dying, and you're closer to God, and the closer you get to God, the more you recognize Him and His voice. And you hear those nudges. You hear those quiet moments where He says, I want you to do this. And you say, okay, God, here I am. Send me. Lord, I'm available, and because I'm available, God's asked me to do more. Whoever is faithful with little, God will trust with much. You know, sometimes we have this question floating around in our minds, why is God trusting some people with much? Well, they were faithful with the little that God gave them. And because of that, He gave them much. Being faithful in the little things day after day after day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. It means that I am dying to myself every single day so that Christ can live through me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, I live. He said, it's no longer I who lives now, but it's Christ who lives in me. See, that's the point to which we grow when we experience the presence of God, when we're aware of our own sinfulness, and we also are aware and experience His grace when He forgives us, and we didn't deserve it. Then our response to Him is, yes, Lord, I am in. Please use me. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to show people love that they've never experienced before. Here I am, God, send me. Now, why is it that maybe believers are afraid to pray this prayer? Thinking that maybe they're afraid because it's a risky prayer. Break me. Risky prayer. Search me. It's risky. Send me. Man, I'm afraid of what He's going to tell me. It's likely that He may call you to be a missionary right where you are today. Yeah, He may call you to another country, another nation, but He may call you just to be a missionary where you are. To be faithful with what He's already given you. A lot of times God calls you to stop and listen to someone when they're hurting. Or God a lot of times will call you just to reach out and give something to someone in need. Or maybe to buy lunch for a single mother and her kids and spend $20. And to you it didn't seem like a big deal, but to her it made a huge difference. God, I will go wherever you want me to go. He may prompt you to serve somewhere here. Heritage Christian Church, in the church. He may prompt you to serve in the nursery, which for some seems like a foreign nation. There are other tongues and languages as you have to learn for that, for babies. He may call you to lead a life group or prompt you to be a foster parent. He may call you to give above your tithe. I don't know what He's going to prompt you to do. But when you truly start saying yes to Jesus, you're going to recognize that He's calling you to do more and more and more because you are His hands and His feet to the world. Here I am, send me. Here I am, God. I'm yours anywhere, anytime. Risky prayers. Search me. Break me. Send me. Next week is breakthrough. How do you get to the place where you have the courage to pray these risky prayers? How do you get there? You truly experience the presence of God. You truly recognize your own sinfulness. You truly experience the grace and the forgiveness that God has given to you. And when that happens, you give your whole life to God. Some will say, God, here I am. I'm not going. Some may say, God, here I am. Send someone else. But I pray that today we'd have the courage to pray a risky prayer that says, here I am, God. Send me. Would you have the courage this week with me to say this prayer over the next week? And maybe even beyond that, as a prayer of availability to say, God, whatever you speak to me, I want to do. I want to be sensitive to your voice. I want to hear and be obedient to what I'm hearing. I want to take a step of faith, and if you say to speak to someone, I speak to them. I want to take a step of faith, and if you tell me to help someone or to take care of a need, that I take that step of faith and I take care of that need. If God tells you and you hear that voice and He says, I need to step out and pray for someone, that you take that step and just say, you know, I just felt like I need to come pray for you. Do you mind that? Would you mind if I prayed for you right now? I know we've done that on missions trips and things, where we took a step, and no one, I think one time ever, had somebody said, no, I don't want prayer. Opportunities that God places before you daily as you're sensitive to hearing His voice, and as you're sensitive to, as you're praying that prayer, here am I, send me. Those opportunities will become more and more. And you know what? That's what makes your faith alive. If you're going through the motions of going to church week after week and that's it, it makes it tough to live the Christian life. But there are moments, there are times where you begin to step out in faith and you see God work. You heard that voice and you took that step forward of faith and you were able to minister to someone. Doesn't that make you feel like, wow, God just hears me? And it kind of becomes something you want to do more and more. And God continues to give you those opportunities more and more. As you simply say, here I am, send me, Lord. Father, I thank you for this moment today where we just come before you and we say, Lord, here we are. Send us. Lord, we know it's a risky prayer, but I pray that you would speak to each and every person here in this room. That when we come before you, Lord, recognizing our own sin, but also recognizing your grace in our lives. And we come into your presence and our response to you, Lord, is a blank contract, Lord. Whatever you want, sign me up. Whether that be in the small things as you open up doors or whether that be in something big, Lord, we're not going to limit you today. Speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The amazing thing about the grace of God is when we come into His presence, we recognize our own sinfulness. And every one of us here have sinned. None of us are perfect. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who was without sin, and He lived a perfect life. And He died the most brutal death so that we can be forgiven. Why? So that anyone, which includes you and me, who calls on the name of the Lord, would be saved, transformed, and forgiven. And this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to call you out, make you stand up, or make you come to the front. I simply want to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you want to experience that grace and forgiveness that you hear us talking about today, if you want to experience a life that's alive, as His Holy Spirit brings you to life and calls you to make a difference in our world, it begins with a first step towards Christ, recognizing your sin and saying, Lord, forgive me. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, that's me. I want to give my heart and my life to Christ today. I want to experience His forgiveness and grace. I want to come to know Him, whether it's returning to Him or whether it's coming to know Him for the first time. Anybody would say that this morning? Yeah, I have everyone. Unless you're in prayer there in your seat and you're sitting, that's fine. But for those who are not, if you'd like to stand in this moment, we're going to say a closing prayer. Or you can pray in your seat just as you are, however you prefer this morning. Father, as we stand here, and those that may be sitting just seeking you, I pray, Father, that your presence would be here in this room and that you would be speaking to each and every heart. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here this morning. Speak to our hearts about where you would send us and what you would have us to do. Work in our hearts, Lord God, today. Send us, Lord God. Call us, Lord God. Let us go where you want us to go. Say what you want us to say. Do what you want us to do. Use us today. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the worship continues this morning, I want to make sure that you are aware that the altars are open. If you'd like to seek out God, maybe you'd like to respond to God a little bit more today. If you'd like prayer, I'll be up here to pray with you as well after service. If you want somebody to pray over you, or if you just want to spend time with God on your own, for others that need to go, you could be free to go. Let's just keep this place a place of worship and prayer for those that are continuing in prayer this morning. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.